Scholars trace the English word carol all the way back to the ancient Greek word chorus. In ancient Greek drama, the chorus appeared from time to time during the play to sing commentaries on the plot, and often dancing as well. By the late Middle Ages, the word carol had come to mean singing and dancing in a circle, as children do when singing Ring Around the Rosie. In the Middle Ages, people caroled on many different occasions. By the 16th century, however, this musical genre had acquired a special association with the Christmas season, while its early association with dance was fading away, unfortunately. So we won't dance today. Monks and priests wrote the earliest recorded Christmas carols to use in worship. They approached Christmas from a theological perspective and emphasized the role of nativity in humankind's salvation. In the late Middle Ages, a new spirit slowly infused the poetry and songs written about Christmas. Artists began to describe the people and events of the Nativity and react to them in emotional terms. Some credit St. Francis of Assisi with installing a new spirit of simplicity and joy in the worship, thereby indirectly bringing about these changes. The priests had written the first carols in Latin, a language known only by clergy. After St. Francis of Assisi, however, songwriters in Italy, at least, started to compose songs in Italian so that ordinary people could sing them. And this practice then spread to other countries. And by the 14th century, all over Europe, songwriters are writing Christmas carols in local languages. In Germany, 14th and 15th century carol writers created hymns such as Lo, How the Rose Air Blooming, and Good Christian Men Rejoice. In England, plays performed around Christmas time inspired the composition of carols such as The First Noel and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. A number of traditional English and Welsh carols celebrated secular Christmas customs such as feasting, drinking, and seasonal decorations such as Deck the Halls. In medieval and Renaissance England, people viewed merrymaking as an integral part of the celebration of nativity. It was a big party. The change in religious beliefs and attitudes associated with the Reformation slowed the creation of carols in many areas of Northern Europe, especially in Britain. In England, the Puritans' rise to power in the mid-17th century corresponded with a drop-off in the writing of carols. Of course, the Puritans banned Christmas altogether. Presbyterian religious authorities gained control in Scotland in the late 16th century. These authorities forbid many Christmas customs, including carol singing. In Germany, the Reformation also inhibited carol writers. In France, the changing attitudes that accompanied the Revolution of 1789 discouraged the singing of carols. The spirit of the Reformation infused many of the Christmas songs written in the centuries that followed with the flavor of church hymns. Clergy wrote many of the 17th, 18th century, 19th century carols familiar to us today, expressly for church use, only to be sung in church, not at parties. Examples include Joy to the World, written by the famous English hymn writer Isaac Watts, and O Come All Ye Faithful, penned by another religious Englishman, John Francis Wade. An anonymous French composer gave us Angels We Have Heard on High in the mid-18th century. 19th century England, though, saw the collection and publication of several volumes of English Christmas carols. So the Puritan influence was fading. The publication of these collections coincided with a Victorian interest in celebrating English, in celebrating Christmas. The tradition of Christmas carol gained new momentum among the middle classes 150 years ago. By the 1870s, church began to incorporate Christmas songs into their holiday services. In 1880, an Anglican bishop first devised the Ceremony of Nine Lessons in Carols, a special Christmas Eve service blending Bible readings with carol singing. And what we did last night was really a continuation of this tradition that began in the Anglican Church in 1880. The 19th century not only saw a revival of the Christmas carol in Europe, but also witnessed a burst of new interest in the United States. Americans were just beginning to accept Christmas as a public and religious holiday in the mid-19th century, after centuries of opposition by the Puritans. A number of American clergy made significant contributions to our Christmas Carol heritage. Reverend John Henry Hopkins authored We Three Kings of Orient Awe, and Reverend Phillips Brooks wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem, which we're going to sing in a moment. Today, throughout the month of December, contemporary Americans hear and sing Christmas carols. Time magazine did a study of the carols, the popular carols, and the results are on the back of the order of service. Well, what is the significance of all this music? What is the source of a carol's strange magic? What do we accomplish by tapping a foot or humming a sound from a throat? On a more personal level, what is the purpose of a piano, a choir on Sunday morning, a cellist? Do you ever wonder about what we're doing? Personally, I think we associate music with a loving, cooperative community. Anxiety in human beings arises from a feeling of separateness, of isolation, of loneliness. Our singing together brings us together in a community. We experience a unity, a harmony. We feel more whole and more complete as we sing. If we have this experience several times with the same piece of music year after year, then we begin to associate that music with a feeling of wholeness and community. And later, when we're alone, we can sing these hymns to ourselves in the shower and feel again the wonderful associations of being together in community. At least, this is how it is with me. Having attended churches for 65 years now, I find that music gives me a spiritual lift each Sunday. I associate the sounds with liberal religion, with freedom of belief, with community of people who are trying to be tolerant and loving of each other. Music is good for my spiritual health and probably also for my physical health. So each Sunday, I look forward to the music. I associate it with friendship. And in December, the carols comfort me. The sound of the music travels to my ear, it enters the cells of my body, and it touches my heart. These are the moments of worship that I truly love.